Case number 061286, Transcontinental Gas Pipeline Corporation petitioner versus Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. Mr. Brady for the petitioner, Ms. Vassell for the respondent.
Morning.
Good morning, Your Honors. If I may take 3 minutes for possible rebuttal in the
That's
case.
Fine.
Appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
May it please the court, my client, Transcontinental Gas Pipeline Corporation, is a major interstate natural gas pipeline that's regulated by the FERC, Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. The FERC's orders under review concern its revision of Transco's rates and charges in its gas tariff, purportedly pursuant to Section 5 of the Natural Gas Act. The orders would change the allocation of the costs of electric energy power to run certain mainline electric compressors on the system. And all of Transco's mainline compressors compress all of the gas through the mainline, being transported on the main line at the particular point where those particular compressors are located. The orders have several errors which we believe make them unlawful.
Would these compressors have been added but for the new shippers?
No, the compressors were added because on a peak day, and all of this equipment is added to meet peak day needs, on a peak day, there was a, if you will, a bottleneck during at certain portions of the system in Georgia and Alabama, and the compressors were added so that the entire stream could be expanded, so that the Cherokee shippers, Atlantic Gaslight and another shipper, could take additional quantities of gas. Looping that line and putting in that new compression permitted the entire main line to carry more gas, including the more gas that the Cherokee shippers wanted. Now, let me
just read you a finding of the administrative law judge, okay, and you tell me whether there's any evidence in the record that contradicts this. The administrative law judge said, "The evidence on the record shows that the added compression the Cherokee facilities provide was not added to the Transco system to provide a service to the pre-expansion customers, and that Transco offered no evidence demonstrating the need for the added compression." Is that,
well,
are you challenging that finding?
Well, I'm challenging its application here because...
But you're not challenging that factual. That's
well,
factually correct,
you're talking
right?
about building the compression and building the pipeline, the added compression and the added pipeline, and you talk about who's going to pay the costs of that construction. And basically we're coming down to, Your Honor, the rate of return that we earn on the additional amounts of those costs being put in rate base, depreciation, et cetera. Then that's one thing. That's incrementally pricing that customer. And indeed, as we speak, the Cherokee customers are being incrementally priced. They're being sent a bill for those construction costs. But what we're talking about here is running our compressors, all the mainline compressors, up and down the system.
Right.
Plugging it in and getting electric power.
Right, but the Commission interpreted its 99 policy statement, right? And
which is a statement that was issued after these facilities were already certificated,
right,
up and running.
Right. But the Commission interpreted that statement as applying to the cost of gas and electricity for running the compressors.
Well, if one reads the policy statement, you come away with a discussion of how in the future after 1999, the commission is inclined to price the cost of new construction, and its inclination is to incrementally price it. And we're not having that battle here. What we're talking about is what is a fair allocation of the energy cost of running compressors on our main line.
Well, you see, the commission has decided, for reasons that you may not agree with but don't seem to be unreasonable, that it makes most sense to require those costs to be charged incrementally to be sure that shippers are not charged for facilities they don't need.
Now, we're not talking about the cost of building the facilities. We're talking about
no, but why is it unreasonable? I understand that, but why is it unreasonable? Because, right, we owe the commission a lot of deference on how it interprets its own standards. Okay, so to win, you have to convince us that the commission's extension of its 99 policy, which does apply to capital expenditures, to the cost of gas and electricity to run the compressors is unreasonable,
well,
given its objectives. So how would you make that argument?
The allocation that the commission has come up with is unreasonable.
Why?
Because if I can give you it's perhaps an extreme hypothetical, but I think it gets to it illustrates what the problem is here. If during a particularly lethargic period on the Transco system, when people were not shipping very much gas, and indeed if the Cherokee shippers weren't shipping any gas at all, and the only compressors, mainline compressors running on that system, were the Cherokee compressors, the entire bill for compressing and running the gas through the system would be sent to the Cherokee shippers, and the other customers would pay zero.
Can't Transco adjust the use of its compressors to avoid that from happening?
Well, we don't.
I mean, is any of this in the record, by the way?
Well, we have our witness's testimony is in the back of the joint appendix, right. And it goes on and on about
and besides,
how they operate the
couldn't
system.
Couldn't the commission just? Why couldn't the commission reasonably conclude that? Look, we understand that this may cause some operational problems with your compressors, but still, if that's outweighed by the benefits of ensuring that the only people who pay for these expansions are the ones who actually needed them.
Well,
its objective, right?
If Your Honor, if there were these pipelines running up the Atlantic seaboard, and there was a pipe off to the side built for these particular shippers with a compressor stuck on it, that might be one thing, but that's not how it works. The gas in all of the pipes is being compressed by that particular compressor at that particular juncture as you go up the system all the way to New York.
Mm-hmm.
And so everybody's gas is being compressed. Our allocation system charges everybody pro rata based on what they're shipping through the system. And that's the way, and that's what's required in the Natural Gas Act. The cost you pay are tied to the cost you create by what's happening on your behalf.
The non-Cherokee shippers,
yes,
did not cause the creation of these new costs.
They didn't cause the building of the new compressor lines, but when you run the compressors and compress everybody's gas, the new facilities allow more gas to be put through the entire pipeline, and when that gas is put through the entire pipeline, the customers under our traditional tariff pay in accordance with how much
is there any transit. Specific benefit, however, to the pre-existing shippers? I mean,
well, the pre-existing shippers in that event don't get charged anymore. They're calling a certain amount of gas through, and whether it's compressed by the electric compressors or the gas compressors, they only pay for what's going through the line for them. The fact that there are more compressors out there doesn't affect them. What happens on a peak day is that the running of more gas through the line so that the extra increment of gas that the Cherokee compressors want, the Cherokee compressors on that peak day get that extra increment, and they pay for it. They pay for the electric energy for those electric compressors running, and all the, and their share of the all the other compressors running up and down the system.
Are you saying that the benefit to the pre-existing shippers and the Cherokee shippers is proportionate all the way across?
Proportionate to the amount of gas that's being transported through the system, either before or after, in accordance to what they themselves are transporting. That's how our allocation system works. It simply allocates pro rata. How much? It simply asks for each customer how much gas are you running through the system.
So you're just looking at the total amount that they're shipping.
That's right.
Because the fuel or electric power cost of doing it
is
and then correlating it to that.
Yes, Your Honor. Thank you. That's exactly.
You say in your brief that these new compressors provide backup and redundancy, right?
Yes.
The commission responds by saying, well, you didn't introduce any evidence at all of any past service disruptions that would have justified that. And I didn't see a response to that in your reply brief.
Maybe fortunate that we haven't had the disruptions, but just because we haven't had them doesn't mean that these new compressors wouldn't help if we did.
Well, the Commission's policy position, though, in its 99 statement, is that general statements of value to other customers aren't enough. You actually have to have evidence demonstrating that. Right?
Yes, yeah. You have evidence of expert witnesses, like in the back of the joint appendix, which shows how the system works and also.
Right, but the commission has said these, I think it called it these general claims of benefits to justify rolled-in rates.
Well,
that you need specifics.
You have an expert witness who says that this is the case. And it certainly is consistent with common sense that if you have additional compression on the system, that can run if something else goes wrong with another compressor.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know how one goes about, other than a demonstration where you, shut down some of the compressors and say, see, the ones that are running are quite helpful here. I don't mean to be flip, all we can do is bring our experts forward, and they tell us in testimony that was subject to cross-examination and subject also to answering testimony from our opponents. But for the commission side, I guess I'm eating into my rebuttal time.
Yes, you are. You have any other
questions? See the yellow light on there.
Well, thank you. Why don't we hear from FERC, and you can use your time later, okay?
Good morning, Your Honor. Beth Pasella for the commission. What the commission was concerned with here, as Judge Tatel pointed out, is that the rates of existing long-term captive customers not increased due to an expansion that was not constructed for their service. And
Don't they benefit from it, though?
I'm sorry, Your Honor?
Don't they benefit from it?
They don't benefit from that, is what the commission found. The benefits that were presented, that were argued by Transco, the commission found were speculative and not really, even if they were true, for example, that it provides additional redundancy and reliability, there were no problems regarding reliability, and additional redundancy wasn't needed. And so to increase the costs to these existing long-term fixed-rate captive customers for something that they didn't need, it's just an additional redundancy. Redundancy already existed on the system, apparently, because there were no problems on the system concerning the service for these existing customers already. The other thing I'd like to point out is the at JA 320, paragraph 109, the commission said explicitly that there is an uncontested increase in electric costs caused by the Cherokee project. The cost to these existing shippers did increase. Petitioner is incorrect about that. For example, at...
Say that again?
The costs to the existing shippers have increased because of this expansion, the cost to the existing customers. Petitioner, if I understood his argument correctly, was that the costs for the electric power did not increase for existing shippers because of the Cherokee expansion, and that's just not true. And the commission found explicitly otherwise at JA 320, paragraph 109. The commission pointed out that the electric power costs at Station 115 of the Cherokee compressors was more than $2 million, and out of that entire amount, petitioners paid only $135,000, actually total, for all of their electric power costs on the system. So they paid a minimal portion of the cost.
So your point is that some of the $2 million was rolled in? Is that your point?
None of the costs were rolled in under the tariff. They were rolled in. That's how it worked up until this Section 5 was filed and the commission found that the...
No, I understand. My only question is this. Of the incremental costs for these compressors, for running these compressors, are the Cherokee shippers paying all of that?
They were paying virtually all of it. The commission found they were paying everything except for $135,000 of it. So more than $2 million. The existing shippers were paying.
No, I asked about the Cherokee shippers.
Cherokee shippers were paying only $135,000.
No, but under the commission's new rule, under the order that's under review here, the Cherokee shippers will pay for all of it.
That's right, Your Honor.
Okay.
But up until now, under the existing tariff provisions, the Cherokee shippers were paying virtually none.
And what's your answer to counsel's argument that, you know, if there's low... I'm not quite sure I understand. Maybe you understood his hypothetical, but if there's low usage on the pipeline, it might be that, it's maybe that the Cherokee shippers are not using it for some days when their compressors are running for the benefit of other customers, so they're going to end up paying all those costs.
Commission understood that. The commission understood that this would result sometimes in Cherokee compressors being used instead of existing compressors being used, and the commission recognized that. The commission pointed out that under the 1999 policy, however, the concern is that existing shippers' rates not go up for services that they don't need, that are
even if they benefit from them in some general way. So it's a need.
Well, the commission found that they really didn't benefit from in a general way.
A general benefit in the. It does help everyone who ships.
The commission understood that additional redundancy is
so it's a general versus specific benefit.
Exactly, and that's just not enough under the 1999 policy.
By the way, could you just was this expansion anything other than new compressors?
Yes, it was.
And what else was it?
There was looping, and that was addressed. And these are the costs for the compressors themselves, and the cost for the looping itself. Are incrementally charged.
I understand that, but this wasn't like an extension. This was an expansion of the mainline pipeline.
It was.
Right?
So there was looping
added. There was looping and new compressors.
Right. And that's one of the points that was addressed during the hearing.
That point helps petitioners, doesn't it?
No, it doesn't. What the evidence showed at the hearing, if you look, for example, at JA3 in Dominion's initial brief, they were citing a transcript I don't know if that's in the JA, I apologize, I didn't put that site down, but what they point out in their initial brief is in designing an expansion, Transco has discretion whether to put in looping or whether to put in compression. And what they chose to do mostly here was add compression. And so if it had been looping, there's no question it all would have been, all of the charges related to it would be incrementally charged. It just so happens that under the tariff, compression costs are not incrementally charged. They were rolled in up until this case. And so it was a matter of chance that they, maybe not even a matter of chance, maybe they purposely chose to do it this way so that the cost could be rolled in instead of incrementally charged to expansion shippers.
I thought I understood counsel to say that the Cherokee shippers are paying for, you know, the I guess, the actual compressors and the loopers. In other words, the construction that was done, they're already paying for it.
They are paying
for it. So all we're talking about here is the cost of the fuel
used to run those compressors.
Or the electric power used to run them, correct?
Right. And again, the commission's point is the system was working just fine without that, and those compressors were built solely to provide the service to these expansion shippers. So because that has increased the cost to existing shippers, the commission found that for this specific project, those costs have to be incrementally charged to expansion shippers. By contrast, in the South Coast, regarding the South Coast expansion, when it became evident on the record that the costs had actually, the compressors built as part of the South Coast expansion actually decreased costs to existing shippers, the commission reversed itself and said, well, those don't have to be incrementally charged. There is an actual specific benefit to these customers, not just a general benefit that they didn't really need. And so we're going to allow you to roll those costs in, the electric power costs into the system. So the commission looked at this very specifically and very carefully and applied the specific facts of each expansion to make a determination in this case, ensuring always that existing shippers, that their rates only go up or are only changed due to an expansion that actually provided them a real benefit.
Transco argues that the commission's the precisely what the commission wants is unclear here, and they point to this the commission's decision in Northwest.
Right.
Okay, and this sentence that says the incremental fuel surcharge is intended to amount to the difference between the proposed incremental fuel rate and the existing compressor fuel rate.
Right?
Right,
Your Honor.
So what does that sentence mean?
Well, what you have to do is you have to look at Northwest itself and the facts of Northwest. What happened in that case was the pipeline had proposed the surcharge to include not only the cost of the additional compression, running the additional compression, but also to include the rolled-in costs for the existing compression. So
right.
What the commission said, so that's why the proposed incremental fuel surcharge there included the rolled-in costs and the additional
I see. So the phrase proposed incremental fuel rate, that's the total charge.
That was the total charge. And so
okay.
The commission said it should really be
okay.
Just the difference between the pre-existing charge and the additional costs
okay.
Due to the compression.
Right. Okay. Anything else?
No.
James?
No.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honors.
Let's see. Council had a couple of minutes left, right?
Yeah, 2 minutes.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Your Honor. Looking at the factual record here, the commission purported to base its decision on the record evidence which showed a certain amount of electric energy costs being expended for the energy to run the Cherokee compressors, and I think it was $2 million something or other, and that of that, a couple of hundred thousand or so were billed to the Cherokee shippers.
Right.
This, of course, follows our allocation methodology where both the electric compressors and the gas compressors.
Right, but the commission changed the policy.
Pardon
right?
me?
The commission changed the policy.
Well,
that's what you're objecting to, right?
Right here, the commission is looking at those facts and saying, see, that's a subsidy.
Right.
But all it reflects is the fact that the Cherokee shippers were only transporting a certain portion of gas on the main line.
But you concede that those new compressors would not have been constructed but for the needs of the expansion shippers.
Well, if the new compressors hadn't been constructed, then the other compressors would have had to push the gas through the system. And the other customer's portion of that gas stream would have been larger because that would have been billed on the gas side.
Did the existing shippers need the new compressors?
Not on a peak day, the new compressors are there to add additional capability.
So on peak days.
That's design for the peak.
Wait a minute. Your answer to Judge Kavanaugh is different from the answer you gave me earlier when I read the ALJ's statement to you. Right? So which is it?
No. I'm sorry. I'm lost okay. as to why my answer is different.
Because I asked you whether or not the ALJ's conclusion that the added compression the Cherokee facility provides was not added to the Transco system to provide a service to the pre-existing customers. And you said that's accurate.
Well, it was added so that the entire gas stream could be a larger gas stream. But we don't have a situation, Your Honor, where there's a pipe and a compressor off to the side pushing the Cherokee gas through. That isn't the situation. If that were the situation, maybe we'd have a different question. But here the question is, what's a fair allocation of the cost of compressor fuel and electric energy? And what we're saying a fair allocation is depends on, you know, how much a particular customer is using the system. The pre-existing customers under this arrangement don't pay any more than they would have paid before. It's just that part of it is in electric power and part of it is in fuel.
Now, council said that there was an increase to the existing fixed cost customers. Now, are you saying that's not correct? In other words,
not the total cost that they have to pay for either fuel or electric power to get their gas through should be the same under either situation, the prior existing situation
Now, do I understand you to be saying that the commission looks at this 130,000 versus 230 million of total cost and says, you know, that's a subsidy for the pre-existing shippers? What you're saying is, if you do it the other way, the Cherokee shippers would in fact be paying the cost of shipping other people's gas. So it's really a reverse subsidy.
It's a reverse subsidy, absolutely, Your Honor.
Well, why is that? The existing shippers are already paying a fuel surcharge for the operation of all the compressors on the system, except for the new ones, right? Except for the ones that were added as part of the Cherokee expansion. Correct? That's all rolled in.
Prior to the Cherokee expansion, that's the situation, yes, sir.
Yeah, so they're all paying, all the existing shippers are paying a fuel surcharge for the entire system except for these two new compressors, correct?
They're paying a fuel charge consistent with what they're transporting on the system, yes.
That's rolled in. In other words, the cost of operating all of the compressors on the system except the Cherokee ones are rolled into the rates, correct?
Yes, under the commission's approach,
okay.
Yes.
And prior to the construction of the Cherokee expansion, there was no indication that the existing shippers needed additional compression, correct?
That may be, Your Honor.
No, but you conceded that the ALJ's finding about that is correct.
The right? ALJ's finding has to do with the use of electric power and fuel.
No, the ALJ found that the additional compression was not added to benefit existing shippers. Correct?
That's what he said.
And you agreed with, you said you didn't challenge that.
I said that I'm not challenging the direct allocation of construction.
No. Stick with my question, okay? Stick with my question. Prior to the Cherokee expansion,
yes,
existing shippers had no need for additional compression. Correct?
That's correct.
Okay. So let me just finish.
No,
so second, the additional compression was added because of the needs of the Cherokee shippers, correct?
The additional compression is needed to compress the entire gas stream.
Was the additional compression added to benefit the existing shippers?
The additional compression was added because the Cherokee shippers wanted to transport more gas through the main line, through the system.
Correct. But for that, there would be no additional energy costs for compression, correct? So that's got to be right.
The problem is, Your Honor, is that all
look, if I'm an existing shipper, okay?
Yes.
And I'm happily using the Transco system.
Yes.
And paying $10 for for energy.
Yes.
To run the compression, okay?
Yes.
Now suddenly I'm paying $15.
No. No, sir.
No?
No, because what is happening is you're paying a certain amount of dollars for gas compression and you're paying a certain amount of dollars for electric compression. But when all is said and done, and again, I have to use the peak day so we can see how this thing works, there's additional gas being run through that system by the Cherokee people.
But prior to the Cherokee,
prior to the
Cherokee addition, I was paying $10.
Yes.
Afterwards, I'm paying 12.
Not unless you're transporting more gas.
No, I would be paying. I would be paying more under the existing system. Those costs were rolled in.
I'm sorry, Your Honor.
No?
I disagree.
No. Explain that to me, then, okay?
Because afterwards, there's a bigger gas stream, and the additional gas is the compression of the additional gas is being paid for by the Cherokee shippers, regardless of whether it's electric or gas or whatever. You, as the pre-existing customer, are still rocking along, transporting the same amount of gas and getting the same bill. What the commission is doing here is carving out a portion of the costs of compressing all of that gas and saying, we're going to ascribe.
So who was paying? I don't have the numbers in front of me here, but there was, what was the number? The Cherokee shippers were paying $180,000, right?
Something like that.
Of the $2 million.
That's right.
Okay, so who was paying the $1.7 million?
The other shippers, Your Honor.
That's my point.
But it means when you look at the array of the compression costs to compress all the gas going through the system, a certain amount of the gas is being put through by the Cherokee compressors, and they're paying in accordance with their portion, and the other guys are putting through gas in accordance with their portion, and it all comes out the same way.
Okay, so let me just try once more, okay, and then we'll just give up. But let's just try once more. Okay, so you agree there's $1.7 million of
electric costs, additional electric.
You have rolled, and that's rolled in under your system, right?
Yes, it's okay. Allocated according
right,
to
the usage. If I'm a previous shipper.
I'm sorry?
I'm a previous shipper.
Yes.
Okay, and I'm happily transmitting a certain amount of gas every day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now I'm paying part of that $1.7 million, correct?
Yes.
Now I thought you said I wasn't.
What I'm saying is your total bill for either gas, either fuel or electric energy to put the amount of gas you're going through before and after should be the same.
Well, then who was paying the $1.7 million?
Well, they are, Your Honor, but it just means that more is being compressed in an electric compressor and less is being compressed over here in the gas compressor. It's just a different mix.
Uh-huh. Can I try one other thing? I think your point is that the purpose of this was to, might have been to benefit Cherokee shippers, but once it happens, it actually benefits all shippers.
Once the stuff is in the ground.
So it comes down to what was needed or what the purpose of the expansion was.
And the fair allocation.
And then the fact that everyone benefits, and then you know, FERC makes a choice there, and we have to figure out what kind of deference.
Right.
Yes.
We pay. So.
Okay. Anything else?
No.
Thank you.
Thank you. The case is submitted.